Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Tonight, I want to share a very simple and brief message, and then pray for the sick and pray for circumstances for a change. I've titled it, War Against Sicknesses and Diseases. If you don't declare war against the devil, you will be a victim. The devil is not a gentle spirit. He is an aggressive spirit. And it's a very wicked spirit. The Bible said the devil is prowling like a roaring lion. That's the description. He is not the lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But the viciousness with which the devil is doing what he's doing is so intense that it's only the aggression of a lion that could be used to define it. It says he's prowling like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. So he's not coming to play. He's coming to devour. In fact, Jesus speaking in John 10:10, and he said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life and life to the full. So there is a being out there who wants to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. And so if you take it for granted that what is happening around you is a product of coincidences, you will be buried. And the devil will go to the next person because he will never be tired. Are we together? This is why every one of us must declare war against the devil. War. War. If you don't, he will take you unawares. And so my sermon tonight is to show you, and I'll try to make it simple and basic, uncharismatic, so that your attention will be on the principles to show you where your strength lies. And in deploying the things I teach you tonight, to begin to record many victories in your life, because you have to. Your life should be an endless stream of the miraculous. Every day, you should see miracles. Every day. Either happening to you, or you making it happen for others. That's what your life should be. It should be a story of miracles. You are receiving supernatural things on a daily basis, or you are making supernatural things happen to people on a daily basis. That's what you are called for. That's the life you should live on account of the Holy Spirit that you received. Somebody will leave this service today and become a testimony of miracles. Before I delve into the sermon, can we celebrate God's servant who is here with us tonight? Apostle Emmanuel Isaac Effa. He's one of the brightest light God is raising for this generation, and we are always excited to have it. You have not come to bless us here. So very soon, you will come and release those fresh fountains again. Hallelujah. This is the month of April, and this will be the month of wisdom. I don't say it all the time. I say it when I'm led. And it's a month of wisdom because you have to consolidate on many fronts in this month. We are in the era of famine. Many are not yet aware. Seals have been broken in the spirit. And when you discern what is happening in the spirit, you have to align correctly on earth in order to be strategically placed in the position of advantage. You must apply wisdom in this month. And I'm going to be touching on wisdom and also touching on eschatology, the doctrine of the last days, to give us an idea where we are in God's calendar and how we should position ourselves. But you cannot live carelessly in this season. You must apply wisdom in everything you do. If it's money that comes to your hand, ask God how you should spend it, what you should do with it. Don't live life carelessly. If you can invest by the leading of the Spirit, rather invest than spending. I told you some of these things in the month of January, and I'm reiterating it again. There will be an opening for harvest in this month and into the early part of the month of May. Don't waste it. Learn to begin to live your life discreetly and productively. Don't divulge your secrets to everybody now. There's too much wickedness. Evil is coming to the earth in higher propensities. And so we need to deploy the forces of wisdom in this month. And so the teaching will be targeted at bringing you divine instructions and counsels, and also imparting you with the spirit of wisdom. Because there is a measure of wisdom you have because of experience and training. But higher level wisdom is a product of impartation and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we are going to be praying and imparting people so you come into that sphere of walking within the confines of strategic wisdom. Hallelujah. So this month, our emphasis will be on wisdom, and we'll be dealing decisively with the subject. But for tonight, because we want to deal with circumstances, let's look at war against sicknesses and diseases. I've shared with you before on sickness, disease, what they are. The Bible defines sickness as oppression of the devil. In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. In fact, the very word disease is a self-explained word. Is to stop you from being at ease. Is to be diseased. That's what it means. And so anything that takes you away from comfort, that takes you away from living the quality life God has programmed you to live, can be categorized under oppression, sickness, or disease. Somebody defined it as death in process. When a man is sick, he is navigating the corridors of death. He is dying. He is actually death in a measure. That's why you see that you are either immobilized, inactivated, or the quality of your life begins to reduce. And if nothing is done about it, it will ultimately result in death. So sickness is death in process. And we are trying this evening to look at biblical context on how to deal with this challenge. One of the greatest crises of humankind is sickness and disease. If you take a census of any number, you'll be amazed that close to 70% or more have one or two health challenges. The doctors can tell you better. Anywhere people are gathered, except there's a sovereign hand of God at work. A very large percentage of any population you consider is struggling with one sickness or the other. Some are terminal, some are temporary, but people are battling with conditions they can't even explain. And there are some doctors cannot even explain. In fact, they are helpless on the matter. And so it's important for us not just to approach this subject as another sermon, but to pay attention with our hearts open to believe and also our hearts prepared to practice the principles that will be advanced. Because even if you are not sick now, there's a loved one that is sick. And the devil will come with weapons of sickness tomorrow. And so in order to walk under God's protection, you must understand the principles that makes for these possibilities. And these are some of the things I want to share. In order not to appear religious, I will explain this subject from three cadres. Because sometimes, because people are not so mature, when you approach a situation only from the spiritual plane, they consider you to be a religious by God. They think you are parochial. They think you are myopic. They think your visage is limited, because they assume what they know is what is most important. Most times, the reason we address issues from the spiritual standpoint is because the less is included in the greater. When you handle it from the highest realm, it covers every other thing. But just in case somebody who thinks being spiritual is religious will either listen here or later, let me say some things that will help him too. Hallelujah. So the first cadre in dealing with sickness or disease or living in health, which is God's plan, you know, the Bible speaking, in 3 John verse 2, it says, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The goal of God is not even healing. Healing became necessary because we require intervention. God's plan is for us to live in divine health. So the things we are advancing tonight, yes, will produce healing, but it's beyond healing. It's to help you walk in divine health, because that's God's plan. He said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper, thou mayest prosper, and be in health, even as your soul prospers. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Jeremiah 29:11. He said, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Other versions say to give you an expected end. Others say to give you a prosperous life. And so, God wants us to live in health, in abundance. God wants us to enjoy this life. He said, I have come that you may have life and life to the full. But living this kind of life is not without principles. And so the first cadre of principles we'll be considering is healthy living. There are many spiritual people who are not living healthy. That's why they are requiring anointings and healings all the time. The devil's attack is twofold. It's either direct or indirect. Most of the people suffering from disease and sickness are not suffering because the devil is attacking them directly. There are those the devil attacks directly. A demon can come into somebody's body and the person begins to struggle with asthma. If you cast that demon away, that asthma will stop, because the asthma is a manifestation of the character of that demon. A demon can possess a man and the man becomes schizophrenic because he begins to hear things from other realms, and those things subjugate his will. If you cast that demon out, the person will be fine. That's a direct assault, a direct attack of the devil. But that's not the only way the devil attacks. The devil can attack you by manipulating your mind and getting you to eat too much sugar, and you end up with diabetes. If you like, cast demons out from morning till night. There's no demon there to cast out. You did not just obey principles. But the reason you took that path is because you were manipulated. The devil can lure somebody through a video or a media content, maybe he watches somewhere, and he can watch something pornographic, and then end up go and fornicate with somebody who is HIV positive, and he will end up with HIV. There's no demon to cast out, but the demon infiltrated the system to manipulate his mind. So, indirectly, the devil is still there. Mosquitoes were not designed to give malaria. Mosquitoes were designed to sing songs to Adam for him to relax. Mosquitoes are actually creatures in the rank of orchestra. You know, when God puts sound in us, a sound can also be used to group us into cadres in the spirit realm. Sound can group us into class. When you study animals and you are doing animal classification, there's a dimension of classification that is dependent on the kind of sound animals can produce. Sound can classify creatures. The mosquito is in the orchestra department. You know, Adam was created as a dominion. He has a throne. He is God's ambassador to the earth realm. And you know, an ambassador is also an excellency. So, the way the angels worship God and play orchestras, God wanted Adam to relax in the garden. So, when he wants to sleep, the mosquito is supposed to bring advanced system of lullaby. So that he can relax. But when the devil manipulated Adam and he rebelled and he fell, creation also rebelled against Adam. So the mosquito now discovered a new occupation. He was modified for a new occupation. So the devil doesn't need to come for you to have malaria. There's a system that he has indirectly corrupted and is now affecting you negatively. And so the first way to combat sickness or to live healthily is to obey principles of healthy living. If you don't live healthily, you can be anointed and still die. They can lay hands on you and you will still die, because you are violating systems that affect your body directly. And there are three simple things that you should observe in order to complete the cycle of healthy living. Number one is to eat balanced diet. Don't eat garri in the morning, akpu in the afternoon, and powdered yam in the evening. And you say, we need strength, we need strength. Your surname is not carbohydrate. Some persons have a strange idea of feeding. Strange. He wakes up in the morning, he takes yogurt. In the afternoon, he goes and buys sugar cane. His name is sugar. Where? Your body needs it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. It means man shall live by bread also. So if you live by the word of God and you don't obey the law of bread, you will die because of the kind of bread you eat. Are you following? This is simple, but this is why many persons cannot be helped. Jesus recognized the place of bread. You must eat well if you must be healthy. Number two, I don't want to overemphasize this, it's exercise. In 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, bodily exercise profits little. It says, but godliness profits all unto all things. It says, it profits in this life and in the life to come. Yes, bodily exercise profits little, but that little is enough for your lifetime. There are persons who can't even walk. They don't walk, as in just walk. This preaching I'm preaching now, there are some people, they sit down to preach. They wake up in the morning, they lie down to read, they lie down to eat, they lie down to do everything. And before you know what is happening, one of their lap becomes bigger than three people. No exercise. Nothing to stretch. They are too lazy, even at the detriment of their own health. If you don't exercise, The food you eat can't even work well. Your internal system can't function well. Somebody is 29. All his arteries and veins are already clogged with fat. Because he drinks yogurt, he eats pizza. When he finishes eating everything, he goes to sleep. And he sleeps for 12 hours. He wakes up in the morning. God is good. You will soon meet him in heaven. He's so good, that's why you will meet him very soon. Exercise is important. I know we can be busy, but be deliberate. The reason some of us, I don't have much time anymore. I'm a footballer. I was telling Sonny the other time, get me jerseys and boots. I talked and talked and talked, but I don't know what, maybe a spirit was whispering to him. Get me jersey and boot. I want to go back to the field. Maybe once a week or twice and do something. Exercise the body, exercise the mind. Not only the body, even the mind. Sometimes go and sit somewhere, take 30 minutes, play chess and task your brain. Do something that makes you calculate, think strategically. You are stretching yourself. Sometimes sit down, read for 10 hours, stretch. It's not Bible. Just carry a book and read. As you are reading, after a while, your head will start aching. It's because your nerves are not, they are no longer responsible. You stretch the mind, you stretch the body. There are persons here who have, for the past 7 years, they've not read one book. That's why they cannot construct two sentences correctly. And even the one that should help them when they communicate with people via chat, all the chat is short letter and slangs. I'd like to. Because they are not exercised. I'm telling you why the quality of people's lives are declining every day. Do you think after men were cursed, the old people still lived older? All of us were under the curse before we met Jesus. But Abraham lived for more than 100 years. They were still living older. Why do you think the age bracket is going down every day? It's not because of the curse. The curse says man won't live above 120. But there were many people who, by reason of strength, entered 90. By reason of covenant, exercise, healthy living, entered 120-something. Because when you insist, you can plunge into grace, regardless of the dispensation. But today, a man who is 45 is a senior person. They were marrying at the age of 90 in the Old Testament. 90, 95, 100 years are young men. No. If you go to the Asian continent now, people live for 135 and they are walking without walking stick. They reduce chemical intake and they are very, very active in exercise. Do you think the Chinese Kung Fu is just about fighting? It's one of the ways of improving health. They teach it to people to improve their health because they burn down fat, they stabilize the flow of oxygen, they stabilize and increase the volume of blood flow. They know these things. They drink tea all the time to create, chemical stability in the body and balance. They are not living old because they are calling the name of Jesus. Yes, serving God, following the covenant, trusting in God can improve your health. And I'll talk about that. But nations that are without the knowledge of Christ, some of them are doing better health-wise than we who have miracle services, anointing services, feet washing. They are still better. Not because the miracle services are wrong. We will pray for the sick here tonight. They'll be healed. But in addition to that, they understand other laws that God also put in place to help us. No exercise. No proper feeding. And you don't need so much money to feed well. Somebody has 1,000. He wants to cook food. He buys meat for 800.
Are you a carnivorous animal?
No vegetable, nothing balanced. It's meat. He just wants to eat meat. He sits down with three laps of chicken. Yeehaw! Yeehaw! Won't you take it easy? He goes to where they are selling tea in the morning. He opens three pig milk with bread and drink the can first. Three cans of pig milk. He drinks it first. And he says, is there indomie here? And then when cancer results, he says, it's the devil. Where is this Satan? In the name of Jesus. You are taking carcinogenic content. Wouldn't you know cancer will come? Are you following what I'm sharing? It looks like a joke, but don't take it lightly. Number three is rest. This one is the hardest part. Because hard work always legitimizes a lack of rest time. But that ought not to be. Take time to rest, no matter how hardworking you are. Sometimes, go and lie down and sleep. Is also part of spirituality. Because when you are sleeping, you can receive inspiration. I'm not saying be a lazy man and fold your hand, but if necessary, rest. If your body begins to give you signals, respect it if it is possible. Don't always undermine the signals your body gives you. In this area, some of us now, we are trying to make effort. Because I'm guilty here. But it has to be deliberate. Very deliberate. In recent times, I don't see anybody. I don't go out of my house until 12. I lie down on the floor. If I'm talking to God, I talk to God. If I'm reading, I'm reading. If I'm learning something on one platform or the other, I'm learning. It's after 12 o'clock I open my door. Because if you step out, you will walk until you go in. People call us around 1 a.m. And when you pick, they say, we know this is the only time we can get you. Are you aware that I'm married? As far as they have needs, they don't think. They must get you. And if they don't get you, they are offended. I'm not saying stop. But what I'm saying is, if it's time for your rest, be deliberate about it. If you can't control it, off your phone. When they reach you, apologize. Say, sorry, my phone was off. And your phone was actually off. But take time to rest. At least 1 hour in a day, rest. Let your organs also relax. You are young, you say, no, it's the grace of God. So, we will check you out when you are 90. Let's see that grace of God. You are burning adrenaline using your youthful strength. You say, it's the grace of God. When you are 50 years, you will modify your doctrine. Rest now. Some persons are 30, but the liver has worked for 60, like more than a man of 60 years. Don't be lazy, but rest. Because somebody is now quoting the scripture. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hand, and poverty will come like an armed man. Hallelujah. So the first law, principle, or order for a healthy life is the health principle. You must live healthily. And to live healthily, you must eat balanced diet, you must exercise regularly, and you must rest. Somebody can be hearing me now and say, I thought we came to church for revival service. Which one is this? When a tumor grows, you will understand that it's better to walk in the blessing than to have a miracle. It's better to live in the land flowing with milk and honey than to have manna in the wilderness. Miracle is necessary because you have not entered the blessing. When you enter the blessing, you won't need miracles again. The guy who runs a car producing factory doesn't need the miracle of a car. He produces cars. Anyone he wants, he produces it. There's a power to generate it. But you who don't work or produce car, even if they give you Volvo, of 1998 model is a miracle. Are we together? So please take these things to heart and apply them. This may be somebody's miracle in this service. So you don't die of diabetes or you don't die of obesity. Take these things to heart. When you travel out of this country, you find these white people always carrying dogs. In the morning, they trek 2 kilometers and they come back and shower and go to work. It's not easy, but it's necessary. They have that level of understanding. In the evening, you see people trekking. Rich men will pack their car and stroll. Niger here, no, they won't pack it. They will rather open the head of the car and drive so that you will see that they are the ones. If they are driving the car and you don't see them, they will remove the roof. If the roof is not a convertible, they will stand up inside. See me, I'm the one, I own this car. Hallelujah. The second realm is deploying the provisions of medical science. I'm teaching this now because faith is in levels. There is a level you can come to in your walk with God, and the Holy Ghost will challenge you or stir your spirit man. And on the strength of that challenge or stirring that came from intimacy, you can rise up and say, I'm not taking any drug again. If I perish, I perish. That's not a doctrine. That's your personal conviction. Smith Wigglesworth came to a point and it had an agreement. I can teach from that angle because I would expect that as ministers of God, it will help them boost their faith. But when I'm talking to a general assembly like this, I would state it in context. Whatever the Holy Ghost inspires you, you will now do. There is a place of intimacy, of stirring by the Holy Spirit, where you can be challenged and tell yourself you won't take drug again. And as you begin, you may have challenges from time to time. God will honor your faith and carry you through those challenges. And a point will come. You will not just not fall sick. You will stop being sick. There's a level where you say, we can't get sick. That means anytime sickness comes, you wrestle it down. But there's a level you get to where you don't get sick. Sickness doesn't even come. But that's your walk with the Lord. But generically speaking, it's important to heed to medical science if you want to win the war over sickness. And heeding to medical science is twofold. The first are healthy advices, counsels, and prescriptions. Like the few I've given already. Exercise. They would always advise you. If you are in an environment where there are mosquitoes, use mosquito net. You spray your room with insecticides, wait until the intensity goes down, go in. They give all of these counsels. Drink pure water. If the water is not pure, boil it. Take those advices. In case you are already sick and your faith is not producing results, not because faith does not produce results, but your understanding has not activated your faith and you are not getting results, consult with a doctor. Let him treat you. Come back and start again. The scriptures you didn't understand, go back, read them, meditate upon them, and start again. A righteous man may fall 7 times, but 7 times he will rise again. And so if your faith does not produce results the first time, let the doctor treat you. Come back, start your journey of faith. God will not be disappointed. God will not be offended. Jesus is not against medical science. But this is the difference. Nobody came to Jesus and he referred him to a doctor. He was always carrying enough power to deal with any circumstance that came to him. So as a minister of God, don't become a referrer to hospitals and to doctors. Build power to deal with sickness. However, if people's faith is not producing results, don't stop them from seeing a doctor. Allow them to treat themselves and teach them. Let them learn and grow. As they grow, they will come to that point of maturity where they will be able to deal with sickness.
The person can even be in your house. It doesn't stop you from subscribing to a doctor. Let the doctor treat the person, but encourage people to keep growing. When Jesus healed people, he told them to go to the physician. Because if what I'm doing is real, science will also verify it. So Jesus was not against doctors, but he used power to deal with sickness. Are you following? So as a believer, as you are growing, don't lie to yourself. The Bible said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have shipwrecked their faith. You know, you don't meditate on scripture. You don't pray. You don't obey laws of health. You now fall sick. It's now that you are dying that you now wake up suddenly and you start saying, we have the life of God. Which life of God? Do you know it? When was the last time you meditated on it? Are you conscious of the life of God? You are not conscious of the life of God. You are not conscious of the word of God. You don't pray. You don't carry God's presence. It's now that you are dying. You are now trying to psych yourself. If you were not doing it before you fell, you may never come out of it by yourself. You will need help to come out of it. And so if you want to believe in the life of God, if you want to believe in scripture, start before you fall sick. If you are doing it and you fall sick, you can continue trusting God to honor it. But if you were not doing it before, don't wake up and start doing it now because you are sick. Do you follow? Be very deliberate and be very honest to yourself when you walk through life. Many persons are not honest to themselves. You hear the story of Smith Wigglesworth. When you now fell sick, you now remember Smith Wigglesworth. You say, we will not take drugs. Do you know how many hours he meditates on scripture? I read something about him. Every 30 minutes, he reads a verse. Every 30 minutes of his life. He says, that verse is entering somewhere. When it's needed, it will come out. You that read Bible once in a month, or you start looking for Genesis in the New Testament when pastor calls Genesis in church, you are the one saying we are like Smith Wigglesworth because you heard the story. Don't deceive yourself. We encourage you to grow in the things of God, but over and above that, understand where you are in your faith walk and respect it so that you don't come back later and start saying all those things they say in church is a lie. When I was sick, I tried it. It doesn't work. You are the liar. It's not what they say in church. Because many people will not obey what God says or what is taught. When they are in crisis, they now apply the haphazard knowledge they have that is not coordinated. And they don't have results. They now start attacking pastors and attacking church. Hallelujah. And so the second way to combat sicknesses and diseases is to deploy the provisions of medical science. Now, that is good for babes. Now, let's go up high, to a higher ground. Let's go up. How many wants to come up here? That's right. That's right. The third way to deal with sickness. Don't get me wrong. If I fall sick today and I meditate on scripture for 1 week and it doesn't work, you will see me with lab coat in the hospital. Because it's as you are alive that you try again. You don't grow as a dead man. It's a man who is alive that what? But I will not lower the standard of scriptures. When you mature in God, you can deal with sickness. You can deal with devils. Because the word of the Lord abides in you. The third way to deal with sickness is through supernatural means. There's a supernatural way of addressing sickness. And there are three reasons I would be advancing here quickly, or three emphases on that supernatural way of dealing with sickness. What I'm saying this evening may appear simple, but it will deliver somebody. There are many persons today, when they take drugs, they feel that they are not people of faith. They will feel guilty for 3 weeks. And that period of guilt, the devil will now come in and afflict them the more. That you prayed or you quoted the scripture and it didn't work, it does not mean you don't have faith. You have faith, but you don't have enough understanding. When you finish sitting yourself, go back and sharpen your understanding and engage your understanding. If that sickness comes next time, you can challenge it. So don't feel guilty that I took drug or I'm in the hospital. No. Don't change your confession. Don't change your conviction. But do what is necessary while you are growing. Do you follow? This is why many people give up. Many persons accuse God, accuse God's people. Because they don't know where to trace their misfortune to. And they are offended at everybody. Even you who is taking care of them, they are angry with you. You say, please take your drug. They say, why am I taking drug? Leave me alone. I'm not the sick person. You are the sick person. I'm helping. They get offended at everybody. No, you don't need to do that. Just grow. When you grow, growth has a way of tackling your challenges. The third way to deal with sicknesses and diseases is by three emphases. Number one, you must first of all agree that there's a spiritual side to sickness. If you don't agree that there's a spiritual side to sickness, you may never deploy spiritual resources in dealing with sicknesses and diseases. There are many people who think every sickness has a natural root. Even doctors nowadays have become wise. When they battle with the matter and it's not working, they tell you, if you know any spiritual person, go and meet the person. But there are other doctors that, when somebody is sick, they say, don't let your pastor deceive you. Don't let any man of God tell you anything. That's not the right thing to do. There's a spiritual side to sickness. And if you are honest, you will know. Even in medical science today, there's what they call, is it idiopathic medicine? Issues, diseases that they don't know the cause. Because they know that there's a spiritual side to sickness. In Acts 10:38, which I already quoted, the Bible described everybody that Jesus healed to have been oppressed of the devil. It's either God was being harsh by accusing the devil of being responsible for everybody Jesus healed, or what God is saying is true. And I can tell you with all authority that what God said is true. He said God anointed Jesus. He went about healing all that were oppressed. So many sicknesses have their roots from the spirit realm. And if a sickness has its root from the spirit realm, if you don't deal with that spiritual root, if you like, drink all the medicine in the world, meet the best doctors in the world, your case will only become worse. Most people who have cancer issues, when they start physiotherapy, their case begins to deteriorate. There are few who are healed. There are many sicknesses that 90% of the patients are demonized. When you find somebody with cancer, find somebody with asthma, these are not normal things. That somebody's cell just begins to grow out of proportion. They are not normal things. You can give medical explanation to it. But most times, some of these terminal diseases that doctors appear to be helpless dealing with, they have spiritual roots. The reason many persons cannot be healed is that when you are trying to address that spiritual thing, their mind is fluctuating between what doctor said and what pastor said, between what doctor said and what the word of God says. And so they don't know where to put their conviction. This is why many cannot be healed. They come to church, you are praying. They think they believe what you are praying, but their mind is with the doctor. And when they go to the doctor and the doctor is talking, their mind is in church. So every time they are tossed in between two opinions, and because they are not stable, the Bible said, him that is tossed to and fro should not expect that he will receive anything from God. This is why many cannot be healed, because they have not concluded in their hearts that sickness has a spiritual root. So they are divided in opinion at all times. So the power of God cannot help them. The day you conclude that sickness has its root in the spirit, you will be shocked the ease with which you will deal with sickness. There are things that happen to me now. I turn to them and I address them as though I'm talking to the devil. And when I'm done with that, I'm not looking elsewhere for any solution. Because I know, like I know my name, that there's nothing anybody anywhere who is not using the power of God can do about it. There was a time, I think this was like 8 years ago, I went to a conference and suddenly my whole body began to itch me. I knew this was the devil. I didn't go to look for anybody to give me Piritin to go and sleep. I knew this was the devil. I made declaration, nothing happened. I went and met an apostle. I said, there is an attack here. There's an attack. I didn't call it body itching. I called it an attack. And he said, what is the attack? I said, my body is itching me. He rebuked the demon. Instantly, the whole itching finished. If I was saying, did I bathe with bad water? What is happening? I would have been itching till today. My body would have become like Job's body. But I called it the name that should be called. And because I called it an attack, I fought it like I was fighting the devil. If you don't know that sickness has its root in the spirit, and you allow intellectualism, you will be a casualty many times. Fight sickness. That's why I told you from the beginning, whether directly or indirectly, the devil is there. So fight it like you are fighting a demon. Be aggressive with it as if you are in the middle of war. If you don't do that, demons are like dogs. You look at it and you say, go. It will come back and be dangling its tail and doing all kinds of things. Go, it won't go. Until you shout at it. That's when it will know you are serious. And it will sprint off. That's why Jesus told us to cast out devils. Because you have to molest them out of an environment to hear you. Demons don't hear you until you come aggressively. But you will not approach that sickness with the necessary aggression until you know it's the devil. In Luke 13, verse 11, 12, and 16, Jesus met a woman that was bent over. Medical science will call it scoliosis, or kyphosis, or lumbar lordosis. They will give it any name they want to give it. The bone is bent. Maybe it's because of lack of this, or maybe it's because of wrong posture. Jesus never called it what they were calling it. He looked at her and he said, ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, be let loose from this oppression of the devil? He said, woman, thou art loose. And instantly, the woman that was bent over stood up. If Jesus was wondering, is it the way this woman walked? What caused this? He would have, even him would have used some power there. Woman, thou art loose. Instantly, the woman stood up. So, a woman who is bent is not bent because the bone is curved. She's bent because there's a spirit pressing her down. There's a weight put on her shoulder. It will take a man of discernment to look beyond bone and to address the spirit behind it. As you talk to the spirit, the bone straightens. That means that bone was oppressed. The bone was not bent because of lack of calcium. The bone was not bent because the woman walked like that. It was the devil oppressing her. And Jesus dealt with the matter decisively because Jesus knows there is the finger of the devil in every human affliction. In Luke 4:38-39, he went to Peter's mother-in-law's house. And the Bible said the woman had fever. Jesus did not disagree with that position. But Jesus also knew that fever is not high temperature. He knew that is an energy of a demon. And Jesus didn't say, put rub in water. Let her cover herself and sniff it. It said Jesus rebuked the fever. Who rebukes fever? It's a man who knows that every sickness has its root in the devil. He rebuked the fever and instantly he carried the woman. The woman who was down with fever went to cook for them. If you begin to interpret everything from your brain, you will see how limited your brain is when spirits are involved. Most times we come to God when nothing else works. And at that time, we are already defeated. That's why even the energy to fight is no longer there. You already accepted defeat. You're only coming to try God and see what God will do. But the energy is no longer there. And unfortunately, the Bible said, even God is able to do, exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that is at work in you. All the faith that is in you, you've already put it on the doctor. All the faith that is in you, you've already put it on the drug. When none of these things work and you take the position of defeat, that's when you are coming back to God. Even at that time, you can't believe anymore. When my elder brother was sick, they came and interpreted this, they interpreted that. They kept every day new interpretation. Especially when you are in a teaching hospital. This professor will come and write his own. This one will come and as if the person is a lab rat. Somebody is dying. They are doing medical debate. Until finally, one young guy came. The guy was walking everywhere. Everybody was following him. Chief, chief, chief. I looked at him. That time my heart started beating already. My heart was beating. I knew that I've gone in the wrong direction. They said, no, relax. This is a young consultant. Say, this one's their head is hot. They just came out of study. They know all the current happenings in medical science. I said, thank God. Thank God. He came. He carried something that looked like a hammer. He put on the knee, hit it, and heard sound. When he finished the whole drama, the next day, my brother went unconscious. Ah! That was when I knew I had missed it. Because this time around, the demon had the upper hand. Even when I tried to charge to say Jesus, me too, I knew that I have credited my faith on doctors. It became too late to fight. From that day, if you tell me that your ear is itching you, I come with war. If you tell me that your nose, so I come. My wife knows. If they just call me that somebody is sick, even on phone when I'm praying, it looks as if thunder will fall. They tell me somebody has his hand, he's numb. In the name of Jesus, you devil. If there's any devil there, I'd rather pray when there's no devil than to assume there's no devil and there's devil. In the name of Jesus, if every devil knows when we thunder, they run. Because we've come to know that these guys can masquerade a lot. They disguise and hide behind circumstances. And they deceive you with interpretation that they are not there. And then you are deploying weapons that don't affect them. And the more you are doing it, the more your faith is eroding. By the time you come to the end of the tunnel, you no longer have faith. And that's when you now discover that this thing is not normal. But unfortunately, you left your supernatural advantage and came to your natural threshold. It is at your natural threshold you are now discovering what you are dealing with is supernatural. And so for some of us who have understanding, the moment there is a challenge, we know God doesn't give problem. We know God doesn't give sickness. We know God is not involved in anything that is failing. And so we come with the aggression of the Holy Spirit. The reason many people massage sickness is because they think it is not spiritual. Even the ones that are indirect, there is the influence of the devil there. Have you not seen somebody who injured his leg and the injury is there for 12 years? Have you not heard of people who had slight headache? They slept and died? Have you not seen people who woke up and say, I don't know how I'm feeling, and I don't know how I'm feeling, ended them in coma and they died because they took it for granted? Even if you want to go to see a doctor, battle with the matter in the spirit first. When you deal with the root, any doctor can solve the problem. If you don't deal with it in the spirit, even the best doctor will fail. But when you cut the root, even if the doctor graduated yesterday, he will deal with the matter. Because you have taken the life of that sickness from it. What is left is just to push the tree down. Don't make the mistake of thinking sickness is completely natural. Every disease, every sickness has a direct impute or an indirect impute of the devil in it. Even if you take too much sugar and you have diabetes, the diabetes that can be controlled, if a demon enter, that diabetes will first of all take the whole money. When it takes the whole money, it suffers you. You will inject yourself with insulin every day. After 20 years, then the person dies. Because a demon has entered. Because demons don't only possess men, they possess circumstances too. So when the circumstances seem harmless, Still fight. Because if you don't secure it, a demon will enter that circumstance. If you want to win the war over sickness, you must convince yourself that sickness is spiritual. Whether it is headache, whether it's an injury, whatever it is, know that there is a spiritual undertone to every physical disease. If you don't believe in that, it will eat you up and you will realize it when you are already helpless. The second thing you need to know and the second position you need to take about sickness is the position of God on the matter. The reason many people are not healed, this thing looks simple, but I tell you, is because they assume it's the will of God for them to go through what they are going through. Somebody is dying, and they say, maybe this is what God wants. If that is what God wants, why are you going to the doctor? Are you fighting the will of God? This is why many cannot see. Sickness is not difficult to deal with. It's the complexities of our minds that make it difficult. You are dying. You say it's the will of God. And there are some who are sick now. They will never be delivered from the guilty mentality. It's because of this thing I did. It's because of this thing I did. It's because of that thing I did. How about what Jesus did? Why will you never say, yes, I did this, but Jesus did this. And what Jesus did is superior to what I did. It's your alcoholism that made you have that sickness. But how about the cross? You need to understand God's position. God is not accusing people and telling people the reason they are where they are is because of what they did. Because if God was to give us what we deserve, all of us will die. There is none of us who is good, not one. The Bible says none of us is righteous, not one. So don't allow yourself in that pit thinking God ignored you because you committed something that God can't forgive, or thinking God left you in that pit because God wants you to learn a lesson. God has 1,001 scriptures to teach you a lesson than to use sickness, which is the object of the devil, to teach you a lesson. Any lesson God wants to teach you, there's a verse of scripture that can teach you that lesson. And so don't go and school in the school of the devil to learn the ways of God. There are no demonic lecturers who can teach you the ways of God. God has his words to teach us his ways. These deceptive strongholds are the reason why people can't be healed. You are praying for them. You are prophesying over them. They say, Kai, when God was telling me to stop this alcohol, I didn't hear. See where I am now. Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, forgive me. They don't even understand the doctrine of forgiveness. You will say, shut up. They are crying. You think it's the anointing. It's not anointing. It's regret. Even while you are praying, they are regretting. Hey, if I stop this alcohol 5 years ago, I won't be here. Sir, you have drank alcohol. Sir, the alcohol has damaged your liver and your kidney. You don't need to talk about alcohol anymore. What we are looking for is your healing. Meanwhile, most of this regret is not repentance, it's pride. Is it me like this that is in this condition? Is it me like this? Hey, 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 hey! Mike, see where you are. See your life. Is this you? Pride. When you are struggling to take them out of the pit, their ego will keep them there. Sickness. Root. Some is unforgiveness. You are dying. They are trying to help you. You say, that woman, she will never survive. I will deal with her. You will deal with her when you are on the bed. You are already dying. And the devil keeps giving them reasons why they shouldn't forgive. When they want to forgive, he will remind another one. Hey! Mama Nkechi, I trusted her. See what you did to me. You will die. You will die. You are saying she will die. You are the one dying. And you don't know that the demon camped there. Camped on you in your own forgiveness. See, when you forgive people, you are not doing them a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. If the devil begins to deploy the tools of unforgiveness against you, you will be shocked. It will take you 6 feet below. If you want to be healed, you must take God's position. God's position is clear. He said, I wish above all things, above your iniquity, above your fear, above your insecurities, he said, I wish above all things that you may prosper. God knows that once upon a time you were a liar. He knows that once upon a time you were a fornicator. He knows that once upon a time you were a thief. But he said, above all of that, I wish that you will what? Prosper. And be in good health, even as your soul prospers. He has seen everything about your life, but he has taken a stand. I know everything you did. I know everything you went through. Despite that, this is my desire for you. Because Jesus already paid the price. And so the only thing I wish for you now is your prosperity and is your health. And so when you are seeking healing, you are doing God's will before it's your will. When you are seeking healing, that is God's desire towards you. In fact, he is the one stirring that desire in your heart. That there is still hope. Don't give up. Try this. Try that. It's God that work in you. Because he said, it is God that worketh in us. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Every time you are seeking something good, don't think you are trying to get something for yourself. God wish much more for you. He said, above everything, this is my number one wish for you. That you prosper. That you be in good health. So anybody who is sick, God is more interested in that person's healing than the person will ever be interested in it. Every good thing you desire for yourself, God desires it 1,000 times more for you than you deserve it for yourself or desire it for yourself. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He said, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, that you may have a hope and a future. When next you lie down sick, tell yourself, Lord, I know that you are suffering more than I'm suffering. I know that you are creating a way already for me to be healed. I know you are doing everything possible for me to be fine. I know it's not your desire for me to be here. So I align with your desire. I align with your plan. I align with your program. Because it's not your will for me to be bedridden. If you take that position, faith will surge out of your spirit suddenly. Because you will know everything you are doing, God is doing much more. Do you know why the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He said, because the Lord is with me. So as I'm trying to be delivered, God is doing much more. And if God adds his effort to my effort, why can I remain there? This is the assurance you begin to build that you are not alone. Many times the reason people sink is because they become hopeless. They think they are alone. He said, even if you go through the fire, even if you go through the water, you will not be burnt, you will not be drowned. Why? Because God is there with you. God is feeling your pains much more than you are feeling it. Instead of accusing yourself and instead of coming to the place of self-pity, receive the love of God. Be consoled by the love of God and let that love of God begin to embolden you. It is in that love that faith is born. Because it said in Galatians 5:9, it said, faith worketh by love. When you know the love of God and you are assured that God is with you, God is not condemning you, God is trying to help you, something will come alive in you. That's where health will spring from. I'm telling you why. I've prayed for a couple of people in my short time in ministry. Many who are not healed, they are not healed because of the garbage they carry in their hearts. Unforgiveness, guilt, fear, self-condemnation, because they don't know God's position. And some are afraid. They are sick. They think God is so angry with them. Because when God was warning them about that gear, they didn't change. They didn't stop. Now that they are sick, God is angry. And this is God's way of dealing with them. God is not that petty. Don't define God from your wicked heart. The reason God is telling you to stop fornicating is because of your eternal end. The reason God is stopping you from fornicating is because of your well-being. The reason God is stopping you from fornicating is because of the condemnation that sin brings at the end. But if you begin to suffer on account of that, God will not come and stand like your enemy and laugh at you. He's not a man. It's only your enemy that is waiting for you to fall so that he will laugh. When a man falls, even though he's not on God's side, God still desires for that man to be well. He doesn't encourage the iniquity, but he doesn't rejoice over iniquity. He doesn't rejoice over your pain. Whatever it is that led you to that sickness, God is willing to bring you out of it. And it's not just willing, He's already doing something about it. The moment you see it, your health will spring forth like a river. The third thing we must understand about healing in dealing with sickness is the channels God has made available. The reason many people are not healed is because they don't know what to put their faith on. In the natural, they do. But in the spirit, they don't know. When a man is sick and they give him, maybe he's having headache, and they give him drug, and they tell that man, take this drug in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. If he takes that drug in the morning, even if that headache is there, the man will not go and complain. No. He will be waiting for afternoon to take the next dose. If he takes it, even if the headache is there, he will be waiting for evening to take another dose. He follows the dosage and the diagnosis. Is it prognosis now? What do you call that? Prescription. He follows it religiously and he will be taking it. Have you not seen? How many of you have had malaria before? I've had malaria before. Sometimes the symptom of malaria is not even strong, but you now feel that, Kai, I'm not feeling well. There's malaria. You now go and meet a doctor and they give you malaria drug. The moment you take the first dose, then the real malaria will wake up. If you take that drug, the second day you will become really, really sick. But you will not stop. Why? Because you believe in that drug. You will keep taking it. On the third day, when you finish, you start improving. Why didn't you change your mind when the malaria intensified? Because you have faith in the drug. The problem many Christians have is that they don't know what to put their faith in. Even when you are praying for them, they are looking for the strongest man of God to pray for them. Because their faith is in men. And it's not men that heal. When you are praying for them, their mind is just moving in different directions. They don't know what to trust. This is why many cannot be healed. You tell them what to do, they will never do it. They are just hoping something to happen from somewhere. Things don't happen like that. You make them happen. It's just like a doctor gives you drugs and you dump the drug and you are hoping you'll be fine. It doesn't work like that. You must put your faith in that drug and follow through with the drug. In the earlier days when we used to fall sick, very often, they will give you antibiotics and tell you, even if you are better, don't stop. You will now be healthy. You will still take drugs 4 days more. You are taking the drugs and you are asking yourself, why am I taking this drug? So those days when we were young, when the sickness subsides, we will now remove all the tablets and throw away. When you ask, you say, sometimes when I see my dad coming, we will drink water. What kind of drug is this? See, children are foolish. In fact, sometimes when they give you drug, they will say, come and stand here and take it. You want to take drug, you will stand by the window and put water and throw the drug away. That's what many believers do. And that's why they are never healed. And so very quickly, in the next 5 minutes, let me show you 6 channels God uses to heal. So that when you are trusting God for an intervention health-wise, as you fight sickness, this is where your heart will be. Number one is the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God is motivated by his faithfulness and his love. Every time you are sick, trust in God. Even if you don't know what to do, trust in him. Somewhere, somehow, God will always come through. In John chapter 5 from verse 1 to 9, we saw the story of the man who was at the pool of Bethesda. The man didn't know anything about healing. He didn't know anything about anointing. He didn't know anything about scriptures. He was sick and he was there for 38 years. The only available solution, he didn't have the strategic and competitive advantage to receive it. And for 38 years, he was there. He wasn't supposed to be healed by any other means. But somehow, Jesus strode to that place. There were many sick people. Jesus went to him and asked him, "Will thou be made whole?" The man was not even reasonable enough to ask for his healing. When it was offered him, he was not wise enough to receive it. He started narrating to Jesus that I've been here for 38 years. When the angels test the water, before I go in, somebody, they didn't tell you to complain. Will you be made whole? So he didn't have the intelligence to ask for healing. When healing was made available, he didn't have the wisdom to receive. Even at that, the sovereignty of God overrode it. And Jesus told him, "Carry your bed and go." Many times, people are healed because of God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty insists that healing should be available because God knows if you were to wait for them to be taught how to receive healing, they will die. The woman that was bent over, there was no record that she asked Jesus for healing. Jesus was the one who saw her. Jesus was the one who called her. Jesus was the one who told her, "You are healed." And there was no record of "thank you" in that scripture. She didn't even remember to say thank you. After Jesus healed him, the Pharisees started fighting him. Even when the Bible spoke of a man who was born blind in John chapter 9. It said Jesus came and said he wanted to heal him. And the disciples started asking, "Is there no hindrance to his healing?" And Jesus said there was no hindrance. And Jesus went ahead and healed the man. Do you know the man didn't say thank you? The man didn't know Jesus. When the man went to the synagogue and they asked him, "How did you start seeing?" He said, "Somebody laid hands on my eyes, told me to go and wash. I went and I began to see." Who is the person? He doesn't know. When Jesus met him again, he quickly rushed and said, "This is the man." The question I want to ask you now is, why don't you think God will heal you? When a man who Jesus was offering healing was not willing to receive, he was telling stories, Jesus healed him. A woman who didn't ask Jesus for healing and who didn't know how to say thank you, Jesus called her and healed her. A man who didn't even know Jesus, Jesus went ahead and healed him. How come you, who is a tongue-talking Christian, who comes to church to serve Jesus, can allow the devil deceive you that you will die in your sickness? There is such a thing called the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God overrules every reason that makes it impossible for you to be healed. Be it sin, be it ignorance, be it fear, be it human contradiction. The sovereignty of God makes God right and just to insist that although you don't deserve it, take it all the same. If you understand the place of the sovereignty of God, you can tell yourself, "I may not know how to pray, but I will not die in this sickness." If you understand the sovereignty of God, you will tell yourself, "I may not know how to fast, but I will not die in this sickness." If you understand the sovereignty of God, you will tell yourself, "I may not have revelation about healing and deliverance, but I will not die in this circumstance." Because there were people who didn't ask Jesus, he healed them. There were people who didn't believe in Jesus, he healed them. There were people that there were forces negating their healing. Jesus defied those forces and still reached out to them. Me who go to church, me who serve God, me who love God, me who believe in Jesus, I can't die in this sickness. This is the doggedity and the ruggedness that causes people who are dying to wake up from their bed. I may not see an encounter. I may not see an angel, but I know God is mindful of me. I know there is a power that is with God that defies everything holding me down. I may not have the strength to rise up, but God will lift me up. I may not have the strength to stand, but God will carry me up. I may not have the strength to come out of this challenge, but God will carry me up. This is the revelation that brings a man to that point where he says, "Lord, have mercy." See, sometimes you go for a miracle service. A miracle service. They lay hands on everybody and forget you. Because the man of God is a man. Sometimes you go for a miracle service. Everybody is healed. You are not healed. And you are wondering, why did everybody get healed but not me? It doesn't matter. God has not forgotten you. The sovereignty of God will insist that whatever it is that should stop that healing from reaching you, He will override it. And I speak over somebody tonight. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter the power stopping you from receiving. Tonight, you will see the sovereignty of God. Please sit down. The first channel of healing is the channel of sovereignty. Because I tell you, there are some things you are going through. You need some level of faith to access your answer. And you may never have it. There are things you are going through. You need some level of revelation to access your answer. You may never have it. There are things you are going through. You may need certain weights of glory or anointing to come upon you. And you may never have that anointing. But there is such a thing called the sovereignty of God. It's the sovereignty of God that made God go to the pool of Bethesda to seek that man out. It's the sovereignty of God that made God to call that woman that was bent over out from among everybody that was sick. It's the sovereignty of God that made the man that was born blind to receive his healing, even though he didn't know God. And God didn't care whether he knew him or not. He is sovereign. You don't need to thank me for me to show you my goodness. You don't need to know me for me to show you my goodness. And there is no power that can stop me from reaching out to you. There is such a thing in God. That's why there is hope for a tree that is cut down. Even a tree that is cut down, that tree has hope. I don't know the situation where you are in. I don't know how hopeless that situation is. But I know there is a sovereign one that sits in the heavens. And that sovereign one is mindful of you. And you will not walk out of this auditorium without him encountering you. Please sit down. My God. See, we have too many things to our advantage. Too many. See, when next the devil makes you feel you are alone and isolated, don't fall into depression. Stand up and tell him, I have too much on my side. I have too much. See, the reason some of us are bold is because we know some things. Elisha said we have more on our side. A whole garrison surrounded them. They were two. The guy was not intimidated. We have more on our side. And the first one you have on your side is the sovereign one. When Balaam was hired to curse Israel, they were not aware. They were not praying. They were not fasting. They didn't even know. The guy, the Bible said, if he blesses you, you are blessed. If he curses you, you are cursed. Such a man was hired. Can you imagine the kind of manipulation that happens overhead? While you are sleeping, they are having meetings about you in a shrine. They have summoned warlocks. They have summoned native doctors. They brought sand from Egypt. They went and fetched water from Indian Ocean. And they have gathered all the concoction. They have manipulated everything. When they now call your name, you won't appear. They don't know why, but when they call, you won't appear. It's not because you are praying, you are actually sleeping. But there is a sovereign one standing by your side. I know this man is weak, but if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? He said, who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God that chooses. It is God that justifies. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? The Bible said Balaam went from one altar, did the oblation, it didn't work. He went to another altar, did the oblation, it didn't work. When he saw that it was not working, he said, there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. He said, for the shout of the king is in their midst. The shout. And when the king roars, he said, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. When he roars. Oh, yeah. Ekakora kafila kata. Oh. Barake talakina. Very kapa. Do you know the powers that gang up against you? You, this small boy, you, this small gear, kings in darkness wants you to go down. He said, why do the heathens rage? And the kings of the earth imagine a vain thing. He said, they have gang up together against God's anointed. He said, but he that sits in the heaven, he shall laugh and he shall vex them.
in his sore derision, he shall scatter them. You see, there is the sovereign one. He is standing with you. It doesn't matter what the devil throw at me. I'm telling you, if I were to be hospitalized today, I won't change my confession. I won't give up. If I were to be dying today, I won't give up. He said, some died in faith. I will rather die in faith than to change my conviction, because there is the sovereign one standing with me. Oh, 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 he's able. Hear me, hear me. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what you are going through. The doctors may call it cancer. They may call it genital infection. They may call it organ infection. But I came to tell you, there is a king shouting on your account. There is a voice roaring on your account. And in the name of Jesus the Lord, I command that affliction to go down now. I command that affliction to go down now. I command that infirmity to go down now. Hear this. See, the scriptures I read them deliberately. It doesn't matter for how long. That man was there for 38 years, but sovereignty came. A monarch came, so time didn't count anymore. The other man, he was blind from birth. And so you can call it a genetic disorder. You can say this thing happening, it happened with my father, with my grandfather, with my great-grandfather. You can call it a pattern in the bloodline. But when the king roars, the foundation of creation echoes. I prophesy over you. And I decree every affliction holding you down, they go down now. To confront your fears. They told you, you will die in 6 months. They told you, this thing is hopeless. I came to tell you that the one to whom we have come is the creator of all things. There is no such thing as too late. There is no such thing as hopeless with him. And so I declare over you, that thing that intends to bury you, it will go down and you will stand on that grave. Know how wicked the devil is? I traveled to a nation to minister. The man had diabetes. The wife had diabetes. All the children had diabetes. So you will know that there's a diabetes that doesn't come because of sugar. There's a diabetes that is the finger of a demon. You need sovereignty, sovereignty. A king needs to roar over you so that his voice will surround you like a shield. I decree over you, the foundation of that infirmity is shatters tonight. He said, who is it that saith a thing, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Who is that person? Who is that person that saith a thing? Who is that being, whether in hell or on earth, that saith it? The doctor can even tell you your time is over. I came to tell you that he said, because I live, you shall live also. And so in the name of Jesus, I command diabetes to go now. I command irregular growth to go now. I command blood conditions be healed now. I command bone conditions be healed now. Kidney, liver, they're all forms of organ infection, be healed in the name of Jesus. Deafness in the ear, blindness of the eyes, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. Hear this. You will not only be taught. Every loved one that you are representing now, the same power is traveling to touch them. That your father that is bedridden, he will rise up now. That your mother that is dying will receive life now. That paralysis that has locked down your father, I curse it to its root in the name of Jesus. Devil, carry the consciousness that you are moving not just with God's army, the king himself is with you. The psalmist said the valley, that's depth in itself. He called that valley the shadow of death. Even if I found myself there, he said I will not be afraid. He said because God is with me. And he didn't stop there. He said even in the presence of my enemies, he said, my cup runneth over. Abundance is not only in the promised land. There is a dimension you enter in God that even before your enemy, you shall live in abundance. I declare over you, every force negating and reducing the quality of your life, they go down now. Whatever the devil has planted in you that is moving in your body, I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, they are burnt off now. They are burnt off now. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how many herbalists gathered or where they brought that deity from into your family. He said there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. Everyone suffering here from ancestral covenants and patterns of the bloodline, I decree now by the power of the Holy Ghost, let those forces go down on your account. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. Fear not, for the Lord is with you. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I don't care where that verdict came from, but I brought you the verdict of God. You shall not die. You shall live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I came to prophesy over you. You shall live the abundant life. You shall live the glorious life. And you shall reign in life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Afflictions are leaving people now. Afflictions. Afflictions. Afflictions are going. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. Yeah. hear this? Terminal infirmities, heart conditions, liver infections, God is going to destroy them now. They are being rattled now. Everything reducing the quality of your life. Right now, I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost. My goodness. There's somebody that has something like a hole in the chest. I don't know towards my left here. I just picked the signal now. There's a heart condition like a hole in the chest. I speak over. Is there anybody there like that quickly? Please come. I decree over you now. That condition is shattered in the name of Jesus. You will not walk out of here the same. Whatever they have done to your heart, I decree as a servant of God, a brand new heart is given to you in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. Those powers that fight your rising, those powers that reduce the quality of your life, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, I command them to get away now. I destroy those strongholds. I shatter them in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing something now. Hear this. There's somebody that usually boys just come out of your body and causing excruciating pain. Sometimes in your armpit, sometimes on parts of your body where boys don't have a business of coming out. As if there is a chemical imbalance resulting in these things happening. The Lord is showing me that vision now. That these things just come out of your body. Who is that person? Is there anybody here like that? Quickly, come. In the name of Jesus, I curse that affliction. Most times, the moment you just start catching cold, these things begin to come out. I banish those oppressions. I destroy those growths. It will not result in cancer. It will not result in tumor. I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, every growth, every tumor, every boy, in the name of Jesus, they are burnt off your body now. They are burnt off your body now. They are burnt off your body now. In the name of Jesus, I command the growth to vanish, never to return again. Never to return again. Never to return again. Ebenezer, ay 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 ay, Ebenezer, my help, ay 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 ay, Ebenezer, Ebenezer, ay 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 ay, Ebenezer, ay 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 ay. Your hands. Your healing is permanent. Those growths, those tumors, they never appear again. They never appear again. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm seeing someone that is, your liver is failing you. As I speak now, you suffer from so much exhaustion, and sometimes you are breathing fast and sweating all over, as if your life is about to leave you. In the name of Jesus, this person is on this road, on my right hand side here. I can pick that vibration. Is there anybody here like that? Quickly, I need to lay hands on you fast. Is there anybody? Fast, let me just lay hands on that one. In the name of Jesus, whoever that one is, I decree now, I'm seeing it in the spirit. You have this exhaustion, you are gasping for air, you are breathing, and it looks as if you are about to die. What's wrong with her? Go in the name of Jesus. Go, you devil of infirmity. Get out in the name of Jesus. go in the name of Jesus. Come out of her. Come out now. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. You devil. Skin cancer, skin infection. I curse you. Come out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Leave her now. You are the one with that condition. Healed in the name of Jesus.
My help has come.
My help has come.
My help has come.
Ay, 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 Ebenezer, Ebenezer, ay, 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 ay,
Ebenezer.
Lift your hands toward heaven. We are out of time. Look at what the devil did to her skin. Can you imagine? Take the picture. In 2 weeks' time, you are cleansed completely. We will see you again. And you will testify. My goodness. Place your hand on her tummy. Those holds are broken. They are broken. They are broken. They are broken. Come out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Everyone here that have movements in the body, from your head to any part of your body, in the name of Jesus, I arrest that demon. I arrest that demon. I arrest that demon. Come out of their bodies. Come out of their bodies. The fire of the Holy Ghost burns them now. In the name of Jesus. Every trash that is buried in your body, I remove them now in the name of the Lord. Healed in the name of Jesus. You will not have that prostrate challenge. I'm speaking to someone now. That bladder condition, that prostrate condition, you will not have it. I decree in the name of Jesus, it will not come to you. It will not happen to you. You are free in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands quickly. I pray over your finances. You are walking like a slave, but nothing to show. Every force that diminishes the potential, economic and financial potential of everyone listening to me now, eating and stealing from your pockets, you have nothing to show. Worked for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Now, in the name of Jesus, everything stolen from you, I command a sevenfold reply. Sevenfold restoration. Sevenfold restoration. In the name of Jesus. Prosper. 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 In the name of the Lord Jesus. And finally, I prophesy over you. Your light has come. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. In the name of the Lord Jesus. They ganged up against you. They are fighting you. They think you are about to go down. The power of resurrection is about to hit someone. They have forced you to a tight corner. They have gathered and announced your defeat. They have proclaimed that you are finished. But except Jesus did not rise from the dead, I decree now the power of resurrection. Except that power that rose Jesus from the dead revitalizes our mortal bodies, and not just our mortal bodies. I speak over that circumstance in the name of Jesus. Step into the resurrection power. Step into the resurrection power. Step into the resurrection power. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I decree over you, in April you will prosper. This is the month of April. Hear this. In this month you will prosper. I proclaim bountiful harvest over you. The works of your hand shall speak forth. And you will not only prosper by works, you will prosper by the favor of the Lord. I decree that prosperity on every side. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let your palms burst forth. with fresh wine. Step into abundance. Step into prosperity. The power to get wealth. Receive that power now. Relationships are being restored. In this month of April, strategic relationships that are divinely scheduled for your rising, that the devil has fought, I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, those relationships are restored. Relationships that brings about establishment. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Been trusting God for the fruit of the womb. Before this month is over, I prophesy by the Spirit of God, you will take it. That fruitfulness crushes every oppression of barrenness in your life. It doesn't matter for how long. This is your month. In the name of Jesus, carry your child. Carry your child. Carry your child on ground, on land. I release that force that makes for fruitfulness. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are not called to struggle through life to survive. He said, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. From this day, step into the reigning dimension of life. Step into the reigning dimension of life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lift your hands and honor Him. Lift your hands and honor Him.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.